This is Jamie Davis, the Pod Medic, time again for another of our Tox Tidbit segments with Lisa Booz from the Maryland Poison Center. And Lisa, it's always great to have you back with us.
It's always a pleasure to be there.
So what do we have for us this week?
Well, I'd like to talk this week about some exposures that are commonly seen by EMS providers and emergency department staff, but I want to put a little spin on it, something that you may not think about. We often see patients, actually a lot of patients, who have used drugs like heroin and cocaine, but we don't always think about what other drugs or chemicals might have been mixed in with these particular street drugs like heroin and cocaine and ecstasy. Many drugs that are sold on the street are mixed with additives and contaminants. They can be drugs or they can be chemicals, and often they're added just to dilute the street drug to maximize the dealer profit, or sometimes they're added to provide a particular effect or a desired effect. They may change the appearance of the drug, but in most cases, it's really impossible for the user of the drug or the healthcare provider to know what else might have been mixed in with the drug. Now, years ago, to give you a little bit of history, years ago, much of the street heroin sold contained quinine or strychnine, and that tasted a lot like heroin, but it was used to cut or dilute the heroin. Quinine was implicated as the cause of death in a pretty big rash of heroin-related deaths in the early 1980s. And because it was such a common additive, toxicology screens that were done on patients often included quinine routinely to confirm, actually, that the patient had used heroin. Since then, quinine has not been commonly detected in heroin, but there have been a lot of other drugs that have pretty much taken its place. In 1995, there were many poisonings in the Northeast and also mid-Atlantic states following the use of heroin contaminate with scopolamine, which is an atropine-like drug. One of the slang names that we heard about for this particular combination was called homicide, and we did see some deaths from that. Clenbuterol is another drug that was actually found at first to be mixed with the heroin, primarily on the East Coast in 2005, and it's been detected in heroin samples in more recent years as well. Clenbuterol is a beta agonist. It's very similar to albuterol, but it's used in veterinary medicine. Users of heroin that has clenbuterol in there will develop tachycardia, agitation, hypotension, hyperglycemia, and low potassium levels. And those symptoms and signs could be in addition to or instead of some of the opioid toxic effects. So it's really unclear what you're going to see depending on how much of the clenbuterol is in that particular sample that the user has with them. From April 2005 to about March 2007, there were more than 1,000 deaths in the United States due to fentanyl that was mixed with heroin or was sold as heroin. Fentanyl is an opioid. It's about 50 to 100 times more potent than morphine. Its toxicity is very similar to heroin and other opioids, but one thing that's different is that it does require larger than usual doses of naloxone to reverse the effects. Sometimes we have to give 2 milligrams or more in order to reverse the respiratory depression when fentanyl is present. And fentanyl is also not typically detected in routine toxicology screens that are done on patients. Another type of heroin that we've heard about is something called cheese heroin. It's sold mainly in the Southwest United States, and particularly in Texas, as a starter form of heroin to young users. It's heroin mixed with ground-up Tylenol PM tablets, and Tylenol PM contains acetaminophen and diphenhydramine or Benadryl. The heroin content is typically very low, and users usually snort the powder instead of injecting the combination. More recently, we've seen samples of heroin that have been analyzed that also contain significant quantities of benzodiazepines like alprazolam and clonazepam, for example. It's presumed, we don't know for sure, but we think that the benzodiazepines are added to sort of extend the drug high that the user gets from the heroin. There have been pretty much any drug that you can think of that's been analyzed as being added to heroin, but particularly drugs like amphetamines, cocaine, lidocaine, caffeine, promethazine, and clonidine have also been reported. Now, this is just not limited to heroin. Cocaine also can contain adulterants and contaminants. But like heroin, it's really never 100% pure. It usually ranges somewhere between 10 and 50% pure for cocaine. Through the years, the most common contaminants in cocaine samples have been other local anesthetics that mimic cocaine, such as lidocaine and procaine, or they may include other stimulants and have similar effects, like amphetamines or caffeine. But recently, we've seen a number of cocaine samples that have been found to contain diltiazem in concentrations of anywhere from about 8 to 20%. Diltiazem is a calcium channel blocker, and it's also a potent vasodilator. Why they add diltiazem, we really don't know for sure. It could be an attempt to have sort of an additive effect, or it might be to try to treat some of the negative consequences of the cocaine use. But more than likely, it just happens to be conveniently available to dilute the cocaine. Other cocaine samples recently have contained levamisole, which, believe it or not, is a deworming agent for livestock. As a matter of fact, 30% of the cocaine seized by the DEA from July to September 2008, and more recently, 70% of samples in July of 2009 had levamisole as a contaminant. The problem with levamisole is that it can cause a low white blood cell count, or agranulocytosis is another name for that, and subsequently patients can get very serious and life-threatening infections. In September of 2009, the United States Department of Health and Human Services actually released a letter stating that there have been about 20 confirmed cases and 2 deaths of agranulocytosis reported. And they feel that as the number of cocaine samples that are found to contain levamisole increase, and as more people are educated to look for this, more cases are probably going to be reported, maybe a much higher number of cases. Ecstasy tablets are other street drugs that can contain other ingredients, and sometimes these tablets actually contain no ecstasy at all, sometimes not even any drug at all. They're more like sugar pills. The adulterants that are added can be almost anything. And a short list, believe it or not, includes caffeine, cocaine, procaine, amphetamines, diphenhydramine, dextromethorphan, benzodiazepines, PCP, ketamine, aspirin, LSD, and actually the list can go on and on and on. In recent years, we've seen a number of designer drugs that have shown up in ecstasy tablets. These designer drugs are synthesized to actually mimic other drugs, and in some cases even to avoid laws that are existing against some of these street drugs. The designer drugs such as benzylpiperazine, which is known as BZP, and another one called TFMPP, have stimulant and euphoric effects similar to ecstasy, and that's why they're added to these tablets or used instead of the ecstasy itself. PCP is another drug that can have adulterants. One common additive to PCP is actually formaldehyde or embalming fluid. It's added supposedly to give a more rapid and intense high from the PCP, but there's really no evidence that it does have any additive effect or any psychoactive effect at all. But it is commonly seen added to PCP. So this is just an example of just some of the contaminants and adulterants that we've seen in street drugs. And hopefully it just brings home the point that it's really almost impossible to know what your patient has really been exposed to if they have been using street drugs. So EMS and other healthcare providers who are assessing and treating patients who have abused drugs, particularly street drugs, if they're showing unexpected signs and symptoms, it's probably a good idea to call the local poison center for assistance, because based on those signs and symptoms, we might be able to sort of predict what other drugs might be in there. And as always, I just wanted to remind your listeners that the national emergency telephone number for all poison centers in the United States is 1-800-222-1222.
And Lisa, poison centers in each region track the incidence of certain types of exposures and may have a good idea of what contaminants are being used at that time in your area.
We do, and we hear reports from various sources. It might be just from toxicology screens or other types of tests done on patients that come into the emergency departments. We also see reports from the DEA when they these samples or, you know, maybe a cocaine drug bust or a heroin drug bust, and they analyze these samples, and they do put out information about what they found in those samples. And we also talk amongst other poison centers. So, you know, maybe New York City is seeing something in their area, and they'll notify other poison centers up and down the East Coast, and so we'll be on the lookout for particular types of signs and symptoms in some of these street drugs. So it does help to call the poison centers so we can track these particular cases, and it does give us a good idea of what's going on out there.
Great, Lisa. Always good information. So thank you very much for sharing, and we'll look forward to next month.
Thanks, Jamie.